Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Yacht Crew Vlogs right here on Yachting International Radio. My name is Ria. I am your host, and today I'm pleased to welcome back Richard Hutter from Pelion Consulting. How are you?
I'm very good, thanks, Ria. Thanks for having me on again.
Well, no, I mean, you put up an article on LinkedIn just the other day, and it resonated with me as something that probably not a lot of people think about when they are purchasing a yacht. We have surveyors that go in and they check the seaworthiness of a vessel. They check every aspect of the yacht. But is there somebody that's going in and taking a look at all of the computer equipment on board and making sure that every bit of it has a purpose and that they are able to go in and check that equipment to make sure it's on the up and up and there's no chance? Because nowadays, vessels are all essentially run by computer. And if there's a bit of kit there that doesn't belong there, that could cause issues.
In my experience, I've been on a lot of yachts where crew have just taken over and they're lacking complete documentation for the network. That's including passwords. And they don't really know what's there. They have to find out as they're going along, which is not ideal. And in terms of that equipment being surveyed, I would say chances are not. Until maybe the IT company comes on to have a look. And who is the IT company? Who's providing the satellite comms? That's all things that need to be found out or changed as the new crew come on. And if you're taking over a 50-meter-plus yacht for the first time with a new crew, then you know that's a massive undertaking in itself, not to have to think about the rest of the equipment on board as well in terms of IT, the AV, audio-visual, in reality, they don't really know what's there. And in some cases, they don't know how to get onto it to check either, because that documentation's not there. So, you know, sometimes these crews are put into a very difficult situation. It could be stressful anyway, having to mobilize quickly and get through that part of the sail, get ready to have guests on board or owner on board. And, working out how things are connected or what's in your rack, for example, who the vendors are, that's can take time. And,
What would the ramifications be, for example, if something was in the rack and somebody had a grudge to bear?
So in the article that I wrote the other day on LinkedIn, there were three PCs. One of these was exposed to the internet. Now, if somebody had a grudge to bear on the boat itself, they're obviously going to know a little bit about the boat already. And with a bit of knowledge, you know, they could easily get onto that PC, maybe cause disruption to the satellite comms as an inconvenience. But you know, if they know a little bit more about it, like wireless passwords, say the handover of the vessel hasn't been a good one. The previous crew have been dismissed, which sometimes happens, not even a sail of a boat. The whole crew have been dismissed, new crew come in. They're going to have knowledge of the vessel already. That's, pretty valuable. So to actually go around and change passwords and make sure things are secure from the previous crew, shouldn't need to do it, but like you say, if somebody's got a grudge, then potentially they could get into those systems and cause some damage. Especially disruption to the satellite comms. You know, if you turn off the internet while the owner's on board, that's not going to be going down too well. You could potentially get into the AV systems, start switching things on and off. Making the blinds go up and down, lights and that kind of stuff. But then, depending on how the vessel is connected and with the operational technology, which we talk about, that's the technology that actually makes the boat run. So the navigation, the engine propulsion, all these different systems, which should be, I think we spoke about it last time, these systems should be separate from the entertainment systems. But if they're not, then there's potential ways in. And you've got a bit of knowledge how that all works, and you have some access remotely, then you know there's potential to do a lot of damage there. You could cause steering direction modifications. You could potentially shut down engines. You know, it sounds far-fetched, but a little bit of knowledge goes a long way. But then, you know, doing a few things, a few simple procedures could actually go a long way to preventing that. So it's getting a balance. But oftentimes this is the last thing to be looked at, especially in a boat being sold and purchased or a new crew coming in. They need to know how the boat operates, not how the blinds and go up and down or, you know, the TV works. So it's interesting how all of these systems fit together, and certainly somebody with a grudge could do some damage or cause inconvenience at least.
Well, I've talked to cybersecurity experts in the past, and the ease in which they can access the entire connection on a yacht from their cell phone, for example. But you don't have to be an expert in cybersecurity in order to create chaos. I mean, an expert in cybersecurity can create the most intricate type of hacks. You know, that's something that is very specific, something that, you know, there's a long-term plan that goes into place. And I am still to this very day surprised that these multi-billion dollar boats don't have some sort of, you know, firewall up to protect themselves. But anybody with even a limited knowledge, and in today's day and age, most people do have some knowledge of going into a computer system and just creating chaos, because that's fairly simple to do.
For sure. I mean, a cybersecurity expert or a hacker could get into those systems, find a way in, and whether it's a server, email server on board or other systems, they can find a way in and stay there. They can sit on that device and, you know, they can see what was going on in the network and just sit there silently almost. But, you know, we've all got mobile devices in our pockets, and it's not too difficult. You know, you can probe into the network a little bit and do a little, you know, you can do things yourself. With the way knowledge is growing, especially with the younger generations, they seem to know a lot more than people a little bit older. You know, so there's a massive cutoff between the younger generation, say up to current teenagers, and then beyond, or guys in their 20s. So, you can scan the networks. You're obviously on Wi-Fi. How's that firewall configured? It's great having a firewall there, but are the firewall rules preventing you on a guest network? Are they preventing you getting onto a ship's network or onto the audiovisual network? It's great having a firewall there, but if it's not configured correctly, then you might as well put a brick in your rack and say, there you go, there's your firewall.
Well, and even just as simple as passwords that haven't been changed in 5 years.
Well, that's a great one as well. I've spoken with crews where they actively come, when they come into port, they will try and guess the passwords of the boats next to them. Because they're that close to the other boats, they can see the Wi-Fi. Now, the Wi-Fi for them is probably not so good on their crew network, you know. It's always the crew get the least service in favor of the guests and owner, which is fair enough. But they will actively try and guess passwords based on things like whether it's a motor yacht, where it's built, the year of build, and things like this, and the amount of success they have. Because that password was created in the shipyard when the boat was built in 2019. And, you know, they just need to try a few combinations, uppercase, lowercase, and wow, maybe they get in, maybe they don't. And I think there's another story of a guy that did a similar thing. And, you know, just guessing the password is one thing. I mean, that's crazy in itself, but yeah, you can use a dictionary attack. My colleague actually has demonstrated this 3 or 4 years ago now, that using a dictionary attack, basically this dictionary has all the passwords you might want to use, the weak passwords and all passwords that people have used in the past have been involved in a data leak. So if you've lost your data and your password's been in clear text, say with Yahoo or Equifax, these big data breaches, that goes into the dictionary. And then when you're trying to hack the Wi-Fi, you just run the script to try all the different passwords in the dictionary, and the chances are you'll, you know, hit one of these passwords, you know, admin or password 123 or whatever it might be. So, yeah, there's, you know, it's not too complicated at all. And I'm pretty sure there's Google videos showing you how to do this as well. So,
Well, I mean, there's code. If you're a professional hacker, there's code that literally, like you said, all you have to do is just set your machine up to target whatever and let it run. And yeah, eventually it will break in by brute force even.
You don't need to know about the code, you know. It's there ready to go. You just need to know how to run it and do it like that. Yeah, I would say it's a big problem, and it kind of hinders the crew when they're taking over a boat. Because once the boat's been certified for seaworthiness and, you know, sold or new crew come in, then the next thing they need to worry about is the network and the AV and the entertainment, which ultimately the guests and owner have gone on board for. So, And I don't think it just applies to the AV and network system. I'm pretty sure that these guys, when they take over a boat, they're lacking documentation in many other areas. So whether it's on the engine, the navigation setup, and it's not like taking a new car, you figure out what all the different buttons do and away you go. I mean, this, you're talking, like you say, multi-million pounds worth of equipment.
Yeah.
You know, it's a small town in its own right. So, you know, that without proper handover and proper documentation, that's got to be a big job for these guys coming in.
So what would you recommend to somebody who just purchased a yacht and they want to make sure that their cybersecurity and their AV and everything is properly protected and that there's not something missing? What is the best way for them to go forward on that?
I'm keen to work with the surveyor. So if we're talking about a sale of a yacht or even a new crew coming in, if they've got the time and can afford the diligence, I would like to work with these guys to come in and survey the network, do a full audit of the network, penetration testing, and risk assessment, find out exactly what's there for them, and do that before any hacker or anyone with a grudge or anyone who's just made a mistake even, you know. I'm keen to work with the surveyors or the crews on the new yacht to actually come in and give them that peace of mind. And, you know, it's something that's coming up, and I think we'll probably talk about it on another occasion, but the IMO 2021 Cyber Risk Management Compliance, this is something that's coming up in January, which is not too far away. And all these processes or steps I've spoken about would go to actually meeting compliance as well. So not only could we help the crew, the management company, whoever manages the boat, understand the network, secure those vulnerabilities, but we can also get them up to compliance as well. So, you know, there are two things we can offer in one go to ease the transition for that new crew.
How much time would it take for you to go in to a new purchase and make sure that all the standards were being met and everything was safe and secure?
I mean, we're looking at probably a couple of days to understand the network, understand where everything is from a physical point of view, or maybe a day. A couple of days scanning the network, understanding exactly what's there, what's good, what's not, and then a day or so to put the report in and start patching things up or implementing recommendations. Depends on the size of the yacht, though. A 50-meter yacht is going to be completely different to a 100-meter yacht, for example. So you've almost double the time, I would say, there. So anywhere, physical intervention with the yacht would be a 3 or 4 days, I would say, to do that. Then we would go away, compile the reports and understand what the results of what the last few days had given us. And then we'd come back and present that. So some of the work can be done remotely, especially towards the end of it. We'd like to go on board and understand what's there physically. Are there access controls in place for critical systems such as engine room or navigation, these kinds of places? I've been on one boat where the navigation is, well, all of the navigation equipment and the radar, computer, switch, other bits and pieces are in the same room as the fridges or the freezers. And I had to call it the freezer room. Very small room on the main deck. And it was like, okay, so who goes into that room? Obviously a chef, somebody that needs to maintain the freezers. They don't need access to the navigation. So it's just identifying things like that. Okay, there's a risk there. What's the likelihood of something happening? And then mitigating that risk if there's a need for it. So lowering the risk of something happening. So.
Well, it sounds like something that, you know, people really need to become aware of. And just having conversations like this with you and others over the past few years, it definitely is something that isn't top of mind for many yacht owners. They look at everything else, but they never look at the cybersecurity side of things. And it's so extremely important. I mean, you see them in their high-rise offices in New York or London. And not only do they have physical security at the door, but they make sure that every aspect of those office buildings, especially if they're in finance or they have any transaction, that security, that cybersecurity is beyond, but they tend to forget it once it comes to their vacation time on their yacht.
Get complacent when it comes to their floating shed, which, yeah. You know, we spoke about this before. It's the last bastion of privacy, and, you know, not many people are thinking about that, where it's actually the reverse. You know, they're one of the biggest targets now for hackers and a potentially lucrative one. And when it comes to those vendors and suppliers actually involved with the day-to-day operation of the yacht, not just the management company, but all those different facets inside, whether it's the engine, whether it's navigation, whether it is the audiovisual or the network or the ECDIS display system on the bridge. How do all these vendors known about when the crew takes over the yacht as well? Chances are they're backpedaling and finding out about that, even down to the HVAC and some of those inside bits of the boat that nobody really talks about. The plumbing of the boat, if you will. I've got a story of one captain who'd just taken over a boat. I can't remember whose boat it was exactly, but he's just taken over a new yacht. And he's going through the vendor list that he had, which he did have in this case, which was good. A guy turned up and said, you know, he comes here every year to check whichever system it was from the days of the yacht being built. And captain asked who he was. He gave his name, says company, where he doesn't have him on the list. He said, well, no, it's okay. I've come here every year to do this work since the boat was in the shipyard. And I think it was a famous rock star's boat, and he had something to do with that in the early days. And in this case, the captain turned around and said, look, you know, with all due respect, get off the boat because, you know, I don't have any details for you. So these unscrupulous vendors or vendors that have been brought in and not necessarily documented as part of a formal process, as part of the build or later on through the life cycle of the yacht, then, you know, do we know about those? Especially if you're taking on a new yacht. And these guys might know something about the inside of the yacht to actually get themselves into the heart of the yacht. So, you know, if you know enough information and can talk about it confidently enough, you're going to get yourself in. And maybe the guy was there legitimately in terms of he was there to do a legitimate job. Maybe he was there to do some harm, you know. And we all want to help people at the end of the day. It's human nature to, help people. If they think they're helping you, then you're going to help them. But we just need to be careful of that, especially suppliers and vendors. Who's there? Do you know how they're connecting? Are they on an approved vendors list? Are you keeping that up to date? And then are your vendors also, are they maintaining the same high standards as you would expect for the yacht in terms of you're a client of theirs? So are they holding your data? Are they keeping it under GDPR regulations? Is their network secure? Because that vendor or supplier could become a potential jumping point for a hacker to get into your systems or find out things about your boat, so do a targeted phishing campaign, something like that. So we're working closely with vendors and suppliers in the yachting industry at the moment. We're reaching out to them to say, look, you know, we're here to do, we're here looking after the yachts as much as possible, but we'd also like to look after your business as well, do a cybersecurity audit and make sure that you guys are have the right procedures in place, incident response plans like you'd have on the yacht, full penetration tests, so that then they can say to their clients, look, you know, we're upholding these standards. Your data, our partnership is held in high regard, and you know, we're doing the most we can to actually demonstrate that our networks are secure. I'm using Pelion Consulting to do that. So not just the yachts. If you follow that back through the supply chain itself, then there's, you know, there's a web of potential attack surfaces or ways into getting that information. And at the end of the day, the yacht is the final target. Probably not the vendor or supplier. They're using that for information to craft a phishing campaign or...
well, I have to say, just the other day in the United States, there was a 17-year-old kid that is now going to jail for wire fraud and all sorts of things. And I mean, the hack was done in such a manner that it was obviously done by a kid, but he managed to scam quite a bit of money out of some reputable businesses. So if a 17-year-old kid can go out and do that kind of hack and manage to get what he got, I mean, you just never know where it's coming from. I mean, it, you know, and these were some big companies that he hacked. So if the big companies that, you know, are always on top of things, you know, the bar is raised daily, hourly even.
That's the crazy thing. And simple procedures that these companies could be taking to safeguard their clients' data or safeguard their systems, be it financial, intellectual property, they're not taking them. And simple procedure, updating your software, decent firewall rules, regular backups, all this kind of stuff. Good passwords. You know, there's simple things that can be done. It doesn't take a lot to actually make a big impact in terms of protecting the client. So.
Well, I was going to ask you, how often would you suggest that a yacht changes their passwords?
I would suggest a yacht uses a good password manager and has passwords that are not actually known by human beings. So we're talking about these dictionary brute force attacks that can occur. If you're using a password that you don't know, that's long enough and takes long enough to actually crack and doesn't exist in any databases, then that's the best way to go. Use a password manager and use a really, really strong password. And that is going to be long as well. And you're not going to remember it. So that has two effects. One, somebody can't remember that password. I've got passwords in my head from previous jobs that work in previous companies. I can't get out of my head. So we remember some password. But also it has the effect that it can't be cracked. Well, it takes an absolute long time, too many years to crack a password. On the Wi-Fi side of things, you'd probably want to change the password just once or twice a year, maybe. Just, and then, like you said, these guys are not changing them for 5 years, 6 years, maybe even more. So, yeah, there's different things you can do there. But, you know, there's Wi-Fi networks are developing and there's new security techniques that can be used to get people on those. But that's stuff that's yet to come and will improve the security one way or another. So,
well, Richard, once again, as always, it's been very interesting. And I would like to have you back again in a couple of weeks in regards to compliance in January 2021, which is something that I do believe that if your boat isn't up to par, you can't even go out on the water.
Yes, that's going to cause quite a few problems come 1st of January as well, because if you do get audited, there's going to be some big fines out there. And if you can't prove that you've taken cyber risk management into account, then it's it's yeah going to cause some problems for these guys. So it's a case of catching up now. To be fair, we've had 3 years to do a lot of this work, and
yeah, but once again, it's cybersecurity, right? I mean, it's one of those things that just gets put on the back burner, and I don't understand that.
It's crazy. It's crazy. You know, it's not thought about until it happens either, is it? So whether that's regulation or, you know, heaven forbid, an attack on a yacht. So,
And if it does happen, I mean, the amount of money that you could lose through that, millions upon millions upon millions could be lost for the simple fact that you didn't bother spending, you know, maybe tens of thousands of just making sure everything is up to par. Exactly. I just don't get it.
And I'm pretty sure there's yachts out there that have suffered ransomware attacks and they've paid the criminals, you know, to get their data back. If they got their systems back, they're very lucky. Well, the chances are, you know, why should they? They've got their money. Okay, well, thanks.
And if they get their money, the chances are that they might come back and do it again.
Exactly. Okay, we'll give you your systems back. And the attack the other day on Garmin was quite interesting. So that was a ransomware attack that affected the platform. I'm not sure if you know about that.
No.
The Garmin Fit devices, so the watches, all that kind of stuff, tracks your running and what have you. A Russian attacked Garmin, ransomware the company, asked for $2 million, which Garmin paid. I think it was around 2 million. I'm not sure the exact figure. Anyway, they paid the ransom, millions. And the guy afterwards, this Russian guy, he's given them a list of things they can do to actually make their network more secure from a ransom attack next time. So, you know, he's done something pretty bad there, but at the same time, he's like offering a knowledge branch to this multinational company to secure their system. So, but, you know, that's not to say that he's left it enough that he can come back and do another ransomware attack.
Well, and if he's the one making the suggestions, then obviously he probably knows the how to circumvent them.
Well, yeah, it's going to be a bit dubious, to say the least.
Yeah.
So, yeah, watch out, guys.
Well, you know what? Now I'm going to have to take a look at my systems and change my passwords because I'm all nervous. I don't collect any data, so I'm lucky on that aspect. But I tell you, you know, I do rely upon my systems in order to do my job. And if my systems aren't working appropriately, then I don't have a job and an income. So we all have to think about that, I think.
Definitely. And my advice right now would be just use a good password manager. It makes life so much easier as well. Because it embeds in the browser. So when you go to my email client, it'll put in the username and password for you straight away without you thinking about it. So if anything, using a password manager on your devices to access your sensitive information speeds things up, because now you're not typing in email address and then password. What was that password? Can't remember. Do a password reset, okay. So, yeah, password manager, definitely.
Wonderful. Well, Rick, we will have you back in 2 weeks to talk about compliance. But in the meantime, thank you so much for the information. We're going to provide the details for your company and for yourself underneath this interview. If anybody is looking, is buying a yacht, or even is just after this interview a little bit nervous about the cybersecurity on board, they will be able to get a hold of you. And you are available worldwide.
Absolutely. We're international, and we're here to help. We're here to take the pain out of this and you know, ease people's minds at the end of the day, because it's not difficult, and you know, we're here to help. So we're happy to help wherever you are in the world.
Thank you, Rick. Once again, you've been watching another edition of Yacht Crew Blogs right here on Yachting International Radio. My name is Rhea. I have been your host. Please tune in again for another episode.